Accession number 17723, Reel 1.
Mr. Davis, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in Bootle.
Which year was this?
In 1913.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Bootle?
Yes, I had my full schooling in Bootle, ending up in the higher class of the... I don't remember what they called it. It was... It was in one part of this extra school, the higher school it was. I finished up in there. But just to remember the name, actual name of the school, it was the Bootle Secondary School was the school.
How old were you when you finished your schooling?
When I finished school, I was... in fact, I was taken away from the school by my father because we had a big family, about seven, and what his wages were not enough to help cover the family. So he went to the school and withdrew me and got a job in the Cunard down on the docks as a messenger boy.
How old would you have been then?
I'd be about 15 at that time. 15.
So what job were you doing when war was declared?
When war was declared, I was not then working for the Cunard, I was working for the P&O, and I was more or less a clerk in the office on the dock at Gladstone Dock, a high-grade clerk, you know. And that was at Gladstone Dock, Bootle. And it was only in the meantime, I had joined the reserve, the Naval Reserve, which I used to go for a pastime. And when the war broke out, I was called up and sent down to Portsmouth. From there, I was sent on different ships. The first ship I was sent on was the Hermes. And the Hermes started off from, not from Liverpool, it was from down south. We started off, we sailed down to the Mediterranean and passed as far as Sierra Leone. We were stopped in Sierra Leone, you see. And we hung on there for a while, and then we were told she was going to go out into the Indian Ocean to Ceylon. But as the day came for her to sail from Freetown in Sierra Leone, I was told I was going to be sent back to Devon to do a higher course. So I was taken off the ship there and put on a P&O steamer. It was a Duchess of somewhere, Winchester or Westminster, something like that. And I was brought home. And within a couple of days, the ship I was brought on to Freetown sailed for the Indian Ocean. When she got to what's the place in the Indian Ocean, the island?
Madagascar?
No.
Ceylon?
No, it was way up by India.
Ceylon?
Oh, aye, Ceylon, I beg your pardon, I couldn't remember. I was sent there. And, no, I wasn't sent there. I beg your pardon, we were getting mixed up on the machine. The ship that I'm talking about went to Ceylon, and within a couple of days of getting there, she was sunk by the Japanese planes, you see. But in the meantime, I was safely on to the other side of it, sort of thinking.
This was the Hermes.
That was the Hermes that was sunk.
That was sunk in 1942, yeah.
Yes, that was the Hermes.
What was your job aboard ship?
I was a telegraphist. Sparks. You see, I joined up with the Navy, or the telegraphists outside in Liverpool. You know, they had a part there which was naval telegraphist. And I was signed on there, and I used to go there every week, you know.
Now, can you tell me how you came to join the Listrack?
The Listrack, yes. I'd come back from where I said were the Freetown, back, and I was in barracks in Devonshire. I'm not sure whether it was Portsmouth or Plymouth, one of those two. And I was sent there to carry on, and were going to send me on another ship. But in the meantime, they decided they were going to send me to join the Listrack. And she was in Plymouth at the time, you see. So that was after having a course of learning in Devonshire, you see. And they sent me to the Listrack. And the Listrack was a small French coaster, which, having seen what was going on in France, divorced herself from France and came across to our side with practically full crew, you see. Now, she was then destined to go to Plymouth as her headquarters, you see. And there was mixed, her old and young on her, quite a few. And I was the only telegraphist aboard there, you see. And perhaps an English crew of about a third of what French were on, you see. And we came out this day into the channel, and we lay off the Isle of Wight, just where the entrance runs into Plymouth, you see.
Into Southampton? Into Portsmouth?
That's right, yeah, into Portsmouth, yes. And this particular happening was, we were just laying about a couple of miles further south in the channel, just standing by, you see. And just about, must have been about 11 o'clock at night, there was a sudden panic, and my office was a wooden shack on deck of the Listrack, and I was standing there, and a torpedo had hit the ship, and everybody who could got out. Now, I never found out, but I think most of the crew in the engine room must have been killed, you see. Anyhow, it came to the point where my radio wouldn't work because the power came from the engine room. So I decided I'd better get off. And I jumped overboard and swam out to this craft that was waiting, the raft, I should say. And we stayed on there. And eventually, there were some planes crossed over. Only they must have been off the Isle of Wight or behind Plymouth. And not long after, motorboats came out from Plymouth. The naval, you know, motorboats came out. And they said that the aircraft had seen us in the water on these crafts, you know. And the motorboats came out and picked up all who they could. And there's quite a few had gone left. You know, couldn't do anything. They couldn't swim or anything like that. But a good few picked up, including some of the French crew. And there was one young Frenchman. He swam round in the water, picking people up and dragging them to the nearest float. He did a wonderful job in saving people there. And anyhow, I'll say the motorboat came out from Plymouth, having had the word then that we were out there, and they picked up all the survivors they could. And I think in that book I've got, there's a list in there of the survivors of the ship, you know, in there. And we were just taken back in, and then I was sent over then to Larne for a rest period, over to where the wife lived, you see. And the little wireless station was there for the ships that worked up that way. Not many, but there was a few there.
But I don't think you were married when the list rang. Oh,
no. No. Only I met her in Larne. Not in her house, but they had a post office there in Larne. And I was in the little off-street where they gave me some security there. And
Could I just go back to the list rack?
Yes.
You joined it, I think, in August 1940.
Yes.
I think you said at Plymouth.
Yes.
What kind of duties was the ship doing for the few months that you were in the ship?
Well, she was just watching out for these German motorboats and things like that, you know. She was more or less held for a while. She used to anchor for a bit off the Isle of Wight. She never got too far away from the Isle of Wight. But she was on the lookout, and then if anything was seen suspicious, I was the operator. I would call back to the land, you see. But I never had any occasion to see any upset with the listing itself. But as I say, one wallop of the torpedo, and that was the finish, you know. It just went right underneath through the ship. And I was really about the last to get off with the radio and that, you know. And as I say, once the hit of the wiring and all that below in the engine room must have been severed and that, and there was no ability to call anybody up then.
Was the ship armed? Did it have guns?
I think there were some small guns, and the crew had rifles and that, you know, they used to stand by. But I think there were some small guns on the ship, but nothing to make any big damage to anybody, you know.
What kind of ship torpedoed the Listrack?
Well, we suspect it was one of these motor torpedo, German motor torpedo boats, because nobody could see anything. Once it was hit, they may have put their lights out or hopped it, you see, but they didn't come up to the near where the actual sinking took. They just vanished, you see. But I think they may have come near enough to the ship to see the captain get out onto the top deck, because he was fired at and killed, shot. So they couldn't have been too far away. The captain, as I say, was killed. But they must have got out of the way quick, you see, because nobody would have expected them. They firing anything, firing at all, you see. And he was killed there, and he went into the water, and that was it for him. But he was the only one that was killed, I think. Oh, and they went in the men in the engine room, because they couldn't get up, you see. There must have been the ladders and all that going down, must have been hit or blown off by the torpedo.
Where were you when in the ship when the torpedo hit?
I had a wooden You see that shed outside there? I had a wooden shed like that in which the wider sets were, you see. And it was only myself. I was the only telegraphist there, you see. As I say, the whole crew and all that may have only been about 30 or something like that. Sorry. Yes, so...
What time of day was it when the ship was hit, do you think?
Round about 10:45 at night, it was hit, you see. And I was the last off before she sank, because being up on deck, I didn't really know what was going on. Where in the meantime, most of the crew had got the crafts off and abandoned ship, you see. So I don't think there was anybody there after I was there. And of course, I could swim. And as I say, I jumped over and swam for the nearest float. And this young Frenchman swam round the whole of the rescue just to make sure there was nobody in trouble, sort of thing. It was wonderful. But as I said, I don't know what happened to him afterwards, whether he went back to France or what.
How did the English and the French get on with each other aboard ship?
Oh, they got aboard great. There were, not too many. There was just right thing, and they did get on very well together.
Were you able to speak to each other?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I don't know whether everybody did, but you see, I had learned French in school, so I was able to converse with them now and again, and they were very friendly. I think there must have been, perhaps about 15 of them or something like that on the ship. It wasn't a very big ship, very small.
Was the ship in good condition?
Oh, it was in good condition, yes, because she'd been in the barracks, I think, at Devonport or Plymouth. And anything that wanted doing had been done there. But coming back to myself, I was the only one that lived on deck, or worked on deck. I had a radio place about the size of that shed there, actually on the middle of the deck. And as I say, after it all got off, and I had sort of woken up and come out, there was nobody aboard except me at that time. And I thought, well, I can swim. So I looked around and I could see something of the float, the Carly float, you know. So I just jumped over and made for one of them. And we were not picked up. This was about 10:45 at night. And we were not picked up until about the same time next morning, around about 10. And the boats were the motorboats from Plymouth, after having been told that the aircraft going out had spotted the rafts in the sea, you see. So then they came out hurriedly from Plymouth out to the edge of the Isle of Wight and picked up as many as they could, you see. Actually, I think in that book there, I've got a list of all those who were sort of lost, and the number of French and the number of English being separated. I think it's in that book.
Was there anybody else on your Carly float?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. There were about three or four on that float with me. But we managed to stick it out till the next morning. And the Germans must have been away, because we had nothing really to attack them sort of with. No, we weren't big enough. We may have had small craft, small guns or something like that, you know.
What was the weather like during the night?
Fortunately, it was very good. It was very calm, the weather, then. And as I say, we were all...
Were you very cold?
Pardon?
Were you very cold?
No, it wasn't cold. I didn't feel the cold at all. It must have been sometime in the summer. I think the time is there on that. I can't remember exactly, but it was warm enough. It wasn't cold at all.
Did you despair of ever being picked up?
Yes, I was picked up by one of these motorboats from the Plymouth, you see. One of the naval.
But did you think that you would never be picked up?
Well, I didn't think so. I think I was too busy thinking of the general way things had happened. I wasn't really thinking of would we be picked up or not. You see, I was too late to do anything aboard the ship because the torpedo must have cut all the, or blown all the connections, electrical connections away, you see. So the set I had wouldn't work, you see. It was finished. So all I could do was then to think, how am I going to get off here? And made a dash for the rail and could see one or two of the boats sort of right over the side. And I could swim. And I swam out to the first one. I stayed on there till we got picked up by one of the British naval motorboats coming out.
So you couldn't get an SOS message off?
No, no. Well, besides the electric not coming to the set, well, I could almost, well, I looked at it in, I think before it came out, I may have looked at it, but I can't recall. But I came out, so I think I must have known it wasn't working then at that time.
Now, jumping ahead in the war, can you tell me how you came to join the HMS Palomares, please?
Palomares, yes. Well, I think it must have been after the affair with the Listrack. I think it was up there, and we were sent down. Down the Mediterranean. Oh no, I'm not quite sure whether we were sent down the Mediterranean or I was sent immediately then to join the Palomares to go up on this Russian convoy.
This is 1942. Where did you join the ship?
Where did I join it? I'm not quite certain of that, mind you.
Can you tell me about the ship, what it looked like? And
yes, well, I can tell you a lot about that. I first saw the Palomares when I was working on Alexander Dock in Bootle. Both the Palomares and the Pozzerica were parts of the same company.
Can you tell me about the convoy PQ-17 that you went on in the Palomares, please?
Yes. Yes, well, I must have joined it in Devonport or somewhere down there. And we sailed up, I probably got the date in the book there. I'm not quite sure what date it was. But we sailed up and I was telegraphist aboard the Palomares. And we sailed up north to join more of the convoy. We must come up the Irish Sea and that way, up towards past Scotland, you know.
What do you remember about the convoy forming up?
Well, we must have joined it up in the north of Scotland somewhere. But as I say, I can't recall exactly where it was. But I do remember we sailed north. And we sailed past the north of Scotland and up past the other islands up there. What's the name of the islands up there now? There's two.
How did you feel about going on an Arctic convoy? Did you feel worried about it?
Oh, no, I didn't worry about it. I don't think that many people worried just to know where they were going in that. I really don't recall anybody ever saying, well, wish it was off this, because they didn't, you see. They just took it as a matter of fact. And as I say, I think we got together up in the north of Scotland. So we had parts, I think parts were from the States, and they joined in with us up at the north of Scotland. And then we went straight up north, past Iceland, Iceland. And then we turned into the north of Norway, that's right, turned into the north of Norway, and carried on that way down along the strait that runs up to the far end of Russia, you see. And there were attacks from the German planes, especially on the towards the north of Russia, and they used to come and circle the convoy and try to, well, I don't think they sank anybody in it, because we had the ship, our ship, and the other one, they had very good anti-aircraft guns, you see, and they managed to keep them out of the way, you see. But we had no aircraft of our own. There was no aircraft carrier to go up to attack them. But we managed to keep them away. And I do remember one of the German planes coming down through the convoy, heading towards us. And whether they fired a torpedo or not, I'm not sure. But I did see our guns firing at it as it came nearer. And I think they must have hit it, you see. So there was no firing after that. There must have been this ship that we sank. I think we sank it out there, all right. But after that, it was just a plain sailing along to the part where we pulled into North... What's the place? Not North. Archangel. Up to Archangel. We went in to Archangel then.
But do you remember doing much telegraph work yourselves? Were you handling many messages yourself?
Well, we were. Yes, we were. Not necessarily. Oh, yes, we were. We were dispatching as well, because remember, had occasion to try and call Canada for some reason, and we picked up a lot of messages from England. But I don't think we were allowed to do too much in case it was able for the Germans to pick up our whereabouts on the Arctic Ocean.